This is Kyle Jones. We are here today to do a quick read-through of J.R. Tolkien's The Silmarillion. We began a week or so ago discussing the initial few words, main focused words in this paragraph of the music of Ainur concerning the Eru, the god, and Ilúvatar, also somewhat of the Ainur, and as well as Arda, the earth. But I'd like to cover with you, number one, the brief synopsis of this first chapter. Basically, Melkor, the bad lord, who is a picture of the Satan, did not want to partake of the apportionment given to each of the Ainur by Ilúvatar. Apportionment, in one way, is a gift to the people who believed in God, and another way, it's a limitation to that one, that Melkor, that Satan, that wanted to have more than just the common gift or a gift given by God as limitation. So if you will, I'd like to read this chapter. Here we go. Anilindale, the music of the Ainur. There was Eru, the one who in Arda is called Ilúvatar, and he made first the Ainur, the holy ones, that were the offspring of his thought, and they were with him before aught else was made. And he spoke to them, propounding to them themes of music, and they sang before him, and he was glad. But for a long while they sang only each alone, or but few together, while the rest hearkened, for each comprehended only that part of the mind of Ilúvatar, from which he came, and in the understanding of their brethren they grew but slowly. Yet ever as they listened, they came to deeper understanding and increased in unison and harmony. And it came to pass that Ilúvatar called together all the Ainur and declared to them a mighty theme, unfolding to them things greater and more wonderful than he had yet revealed. And the glory of its beginning and the splendor of its end amazed the Ainur, so that they bowed before Ilúvatar and were silent. Then Ilúvatar said to them, quote, "Of the theme that I have declared to you, I will now that ye make in harmony together a great music. And since I have kindled you with the flame imperishable, ye shall show forth your powers in adorning this theme, each with his own thoughts and devices, if he will. But I will sit and hearken and be glad that through you great beauty has been awakened into song." Then the voices of the Ainur, like unto harps and lutes and pipes and trumpets and viols and organs, and like unto countless choirs singing with words, began to fashion the theme of Ilúvatar to great music, and a sound arose of endless interchanging melodies woven in harmony that passed beyond hearing into the depths and into the heights. And the places of dwelling of Ilúvatar were filled to overflowing, and the music and the echo of the music went out into the void, and it was not void. Never since have the Ainur made any music like to this music, though it has been said that a greater still shall be made before Ilúvatar by the choirs of the Ainur and the children of Ilúvatar after the end of days. Then the themes of Ilúvatar shall be played aright, and take being in the moment of their utterance, for all shall then understand fully his intent in their part, and each shall know the comprehension of each, and Ilúvatar shall give to their thoughts the secret fire, being well pleased. But now Ilúvatar sat and hearkened, and for a great while it seemed good to him, for in the music there were no flaws. But as the theme progressed, it came into the heart of Melkor to interweave matters of his own imagining that were not in accord with the theme of Iluvatar, for he sought therein to increase the power and glory of the part assigned to himself. To Melkor, among the Ainur, had been given the greatest gifts of power and knowledge, and he had a share in all the gifts of his brethren. He had gone often alone into the void places seeking the imperishable flame, for desire grew hot within him to bring into being things of his own. And it seemed to him that Iluvatar took no thought for the void, and he was impatient of its emptiness. Yet he found not the fire, for it is with Iluvatar. But being alone, he began to conceive thoughts of his own, unlike those of his brethren. Some of these thoughts he now wove into his music, and straightway discord arose about him. And many that sang nigh him grew despondent, and their thought was disturbed, and their music was faltered. But some began to attune their music to his rather than to the thought which they had at first. Then the discord of Melkor spread ever wider, and the melodies which had been heard before foundered in a sea of turbulent sound. But Iluvatar sat and hearkened until it seemed that about his throne there was a raging storm, as of dark waters that made war upon another in an endless wrath that would not be assuaged. Then Iluvatar arose, and the Ainur perceived that he smiled, and he lifted up his hand, his left hand, and a new theme began amid the storm, like and yet unlike to the former theme, and it gathered power and had new beauty. But the discord of Melkor rose in uproar and contended with it, and again there was a war of sound more violent than before, until many of the Ainur were dismayed and sang no longer, and Melkor had the mastery. Then again Iluvatar arose, and the Ainur perceived that his countenance was stern, and he lifted up his right hand, and behold, a third theme grew amid the confusion. And it was unlike the others, for it seemed at first soft and sweet, a mere rippling of gentle sounds and delicate melodies, but it could not be quenched, and it took to itself power and profundity. And it seemed at last that there were two musics progressing at one time before the seat of Iluvatar, and they were utterly at variance. The one was deep and wide and beautiful, but slow and blended with an immeasurable sorrow, from which its beauty chiefly came. The other had now achieved a unity of its own, but it was loud and vain and endlessly repeated, and it had little harmony, but rather a clamorous unison, as of many trumpets braying upon a few notes, and it essayed to drown the other music by violence of its voice, but it seemed that its most triumphant notes were taken by the other and woven into its own solemn pattern. In the midst of this strife, whereat the halls of Iluvatar shook, and a tremor ran out into the silences yet unmoved, Iluvatar arose a third time, and his face was terrible to behold. Then he raised up both his hands, and in one chord, deeper than the abyss, higher than the firmament, piercing as the light of the eye of Iluvatar, the music ceased. Then Iluvatar spoke, and he said, "Mighty are the Ainur, and mightiest among them is Melkor. But that he may know, and all the Ainur, that I am Iluvatar, those things that ye have sung, I will show them forth, that ye may see what ye have done. And thou, Melkor, thou shalt see that no theme may be played that hath not its uttermost source in me, nor can any alter the music in my desire. For he that attempteth this shall prove mine instrument in the devising of things more wonderful which he himself hath not imagined." Now I will continue reading from this point, but to show the casting out of Melkor due to his repetitive ostinato, full of velocity and amplitude, and not sharing in the eternal themes that were apportioned by Iluvatar to the Ainur. For right now, this is Kyle Jones with the Fullness of Meaning Christian Ministries. Thank you very much.